It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe. It's already the end of July. If you're listening to this on Saturday, July 28th, it's the last day of the Capital Ear Race Series, race number 8 at the Canterbury Fair. So I'm hoping that if you are listening to this, that it's too late for the race, but you can come over and go to the Canterbury Fair. The Capital Ear Race Series has been very competitive this year. I just want to put a big shout out to Coach Tom Walton and Coach Perry Seagroves, who had the original vision for the Capital Ear Race Series back in 2003 and 2004. And Northeast Delta Dental and jumped all over it, and we've been the major sponsor for over a decade, and it's been a lot of fun, and we had hundreds of runners in the series as well as doing the individual races. Last week's race was the Bill Luddy 5-miler race, first one I've missed in a long time because I was actually out in Colorado at my son's wedding, but of course to keep my streak alive of doing at least one race every weekend, if not two, I found a race north of Vail, it was called a little town called Red Cliff on the reservation that used to be used for World War II training, so high altitude, but a lot of fun. So, in any event, at a future program, we'll go over the results of the Capital Ear Race Series. However, this weekend, I'm putting my professional hat on, which is as CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. We have several RDHs, registered dental hygienists, that work with us on the team. And with me is one of those, Leanne Haney. Leanne, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy woman, so thank you for spending this weekend show with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's, before we get into the duties of a dental hygienist and so forth, tell us about your background, how you got your passion for dental hygiene, how you got into it. That will be the first part, and then I'm going to ask you about your role at Northeast Delta Dental, then we'll get into the education and so forth. How's that?
Sounds great.
So tell us how you got your passion, and did you know when you were a little girl that you wanted to get into the dental field?
I sure did.
Wow.
I got into the dental field very early. I grew up in a really very poor area in Pungo, North Carolina. We didn't have access.
Pungo, North Carolina. Wow. Someone has to come from somewhere.
Somewhere, that's right. And it was but, a pretty...
But my son's wife's family's from North Carolina.
Oh.
More closer to Charlotte.
But it's a beautiful area.
It's a beautiful state, absolutely. They went to school at High Point. And one of my daughters went to school at Elon. So for many years, for probably 6 or 8 years, I was in North Carolina at least once a year. So nothing against North Carolina.
No, not at all. It's just back in the day, we didn't have access to dental care, preventive dental care. And I grew up with really poor teeth as a consequence and always felt really self-conscious about how my adult teeth were coming in. My father was moved up to New Hampshire when I was about 13 or 14, and going to school, being really self-conscious about my smile, I was really teased a lot because it was pretty awful. I had pretty bad teeth. And
so we call those ACEs or adverse child experiences.
Yeah.
And that live with you for a little while.
They sure do. And it wasn't so much decay as it was just orthodontic needs as a child, and the money wasn't there for a large family. So what happened was I found this after a particularly difficult day at school. I found this orthodontist in Salem. We lived in Windham. And I rode my bike to his office. I'll never forget it.
Did you have a helmet on? In
no,
those days, we didn't, right?
No. It had a banana seat, though. Okay. But I rode my bike to his office, and he happened to see me at the front desk, and he asked, why I was there, and I explained how desperately I wanted braces, and I wanted to have my teeth look nice. And I think he felt really, really moved by it and where I had peddled from. So he told me that if I came back with my parents, that we could work something out. And that's what we did. Dr. Blackie in Salem, New Hampshire, I always like to give a shout out because he really changed my life.
That story is bringing tears to my eyes already. We just started the show.
And so what we did was he was going to do my orthodontics if I would come to his office and I could mow the lawn or vacuum or tidy up the waiting room, feed the fish. So I did things like that for quite a long time. In those days, braces took about 4 years. So I volunteered, and then I started working for Dr. Blackie.
And they weren't the Invisalign, right?
They were the hardcore full mouth metal, yeah, like Jaws. And so I did work for him, and it was a wonderful experience. I applied to dental hygiene school, and he helped me, wrote me a beautiful letter of admission, and I got in. I went to New Hampshire Technical Institute right here in Concord.
That's awesome. And in the spirit of transparency, Northeast Delta Dental has been very supportive of NHTI. We helped expand the program by paying for some of the teaching. And, of course, the New Hampshire Dental Society also helped expand it, and the state came through. So it was a great example of a public-private partnership and to expand the program. Because believe it or not, and you're familiar with this, but there was actually a time when there was a shortage of dental hygienists.
Yes.
And many of our participating dentists at Northeast Delta Dental would lament to me that they were really forced to hire a lot of agency personnel, and it was getting to be very expensive. And so we expanded the class. And of course, like anything in economics, the supply and demand is kind of, leveled off, and we seem to have a good supply. But the NHTI program is awesome, and we're the fortunate beneficiary of that, having you on the team. So before we get into more specifically your role as a dental hygienist, tell us, though, why you're interested in coming on board with Northeast Delta Dental, and tell us about the HOW program, which we've had a number of people talk about the HOW program over the years, but it stands for Health Through Oral Wellness. And what you know, and what maybe some of our listening audience know from listening to me, but maybe new to other people, is that two cleanings a year is a great proxy, a great benchmark, but actually some of us may need three or four cleanings, and some probably could have one every 2 years, and it's all really based, on different aspects of your mouth. So tell us, with that sort of teeing up, tell us about the Health Oral Wellness Program and what your role is with it.
Well, it was such a great match for me working with Northeast Delta Dental. As dental hygienists, we're sort of the prevention specialists in dental offices. And all along, we were talking about the importance for some of our patients about more frequent cleanings and how fluoride could benefit them even as an adult, and even applying sealants as they're an adult. So when the HOW program came about, it was introduced to me in my office, I was so excited because it was something that I could offer to my patients that they were paying out of pocket for. So by using the Previsor Risk Assessment Tool, which powers our Health Through Oral Wellness program, we were able to identify those patients at moderate to high risk for caries or cavities and periodontal disease. And based on their score of 1 being a low risk or 5 being high risk, we were able to provide those benefits for patients that they so desperately needed. So it was a wonderful fit. And truly, I was doing it, and I was able to provide it for my Northeast Delta Dental patients in my office, which during a day it was maybe, 2 or 3 people. Certainly there are other insurance companies that patients had. And I felt like coming on board with Delta Dental, I was able to provide it to a larger range of people, to share this great program with other dental hygienists and other clinicians all throughout the Maine and New Hampshire area, and thereby making a bigger impact and helping spread the good news about this program.
It's all about you, Leanne. So let's get back.
No.
Let's get back to you. So so you have this awesome passion,
yeah,
which I've seen you in action. You're a true superstar at Delta. You've conveyed the importance of oral health to not only subscribers but to some of our group customers. And we have what's called the customer advisory group meeting, and you do lunch and learns. What's great is you and your two colleagues, Stacy and Krista, I rarely see in the home office because you're always on the road and in Maine, New Hampshire. And what's really great is I get notified that from a customer that maybe, dentist X in God knows where in Maine or up north in New Hampshire doesn't have some familiarity with HOW. And then I leave you all a message. And next thing you know, I get an email saying, just visited So it's a great kind of loop that that you've helped us with. So I just want to thank you publicly for that.
Oh, I really enjoy it. We have some wonderful providers in the Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont area.
Why would you recommend that perhaps they consider going to dental hygiene school?
Well, I think right now, specifically at this time, it's one of the most exciting times to be a dental hygienist. The profession of dental hygiene is at really the crossroads of change, and the variety of career opportunities are expanding. Right now, we have a lot of categories. When I first started as a dental hygienist, my options were essentially to go into teaching or a private practice. But now we're starting to see different levels of care. We have a dental therapist model, which is sort of like a physician's assistant, going into these rural areas, sort of like Pungo, North Carolina used to be, and providing preventive care without the direct supervision of a dentist. So it's really expanded what we can do. I would encourage any high school student, male or female, that's interested in going to school for dental hygiene to really explore the field. Go online and look at some of the exciting opportunities that are there. Certainly, you want to have a good science background. The New Hampshire Technical Institute also has a wonderful program, as Tom mentioned. We are really the prevention specialists in the office. We do more than just clean teeth. We also provide a lot of other preventive dental care. We help patients with nutritional counseling, tobacco cessation. We place sealants. And we can work in a variety of offices for pediatric practices, which take care of just children, periodontal practices that just treat patients with gum conditions. We can be in school-based programs now. A big opportunity is nursing home care, which is really exciting because we're keeping our teeth longer as we age. And the public health model allows us to go into nursing homes to help the patients and the residents there.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio with Leanne Haney, who's a registered dental hygienist and works at Northeast Delta Dental and for many years was in a dental office. And today is July 28th or July 29th. And again, from my big shout out to my running friends for completing the Capital Area Race Series and Canterbury Woodchuck Classic, so-called, is the last race in the series. And those of you that are winning in various categories will notify you by mail. But let me get back to Leanne. So one of the things I've always been impressed by hygienists, at least the ones I've been interacting with, both when I get my teeth clean as well as the ones in the office, yourself, Stacy, and Krista, is your extreme passion for what you do in terms of educating the public on the importance of oral health, but also in your position. So is that pretty typical of hygienists that they have this level of enthusiasm? And your predecessors as well who preceded you, you know, at Northeast Delta Dental, you know, Karen and Heather and so forth, they also had that same degree of passion. So just about every hygienist I've ever met is exuberant about oral health. So is that a trait in terms of the women and men that go to hygiene school?
Well, I think so. Just like the HOW program, I think most hygienists recognize that there's a link between our oral health to our systemic health. And the healthier your mouth is, it really contributes to that overall health of your body. Not just that, but it also having a healthy mouth and contributes to, like I was saying earlier, a positive social interactions with people. It also helps economically. They found people that have poor oral health sometimes have limited opportunity for employment. So I think that we recognize that as care providers, and I certainly went into it because I know what a change it made in my life. And I feel like a lot of other dental hygienists and dentists, too, went into it for the same reason.
That can turn around someone's life. And I think
sure.
The two points you made there are so important. It's obviously the self-esteem portion of that. There is the ability to get a job in the service industry. But there's also the mouth-body connection that without good oral health, you can't have good overall health. And one of the books that I recommend people reading is a book called Teeth by Mary Otto, and you can easily get it on Amazon. It's a pretty big yellow book, but basically she traces the history of how the mouth, you know, got separated from the body and sort of the medical dental arena. But we know now that you have to connect the head in the body. And if you don't have good oral health, you can't possibly have good overall health. And then, of course, all the self-esteem issues, you know, that you reference. So why do you think it would be an exciting opportunity for a young person to explore and go to school? And you started to mention, you know, the public health hygienist as well. Maybe you can talk about that and the other opportunities.
Sure. Yeah, well, right now in 2018, U.S. News ranked dental hygiene is the 17th best job out of 100. So
wow.
I think that is. And there's so many avenues that hygienists can use their dental hygiene degree in, whether it be an associate's or a bachelor's. Certainly some areas of dental hygiene, if you choose to take that entrepreneurial route, will require a little more education. I have a friend that, you know, works for a dental supply company. You could also be a founder of a nonprofit. A lot of women have do school-based programs in our area. You could be a professional speaker and provide continuing education. That's part of what we need for relicensure, is taking a certain amount of continuing education every 2 years. There's also a colleague of mine has a really interesting position. She's works as a forensic dental hygienist, and that is a U.S. government team. They're called Disaster Mortuary Operational Response Teams, and what they do is they're activated and they respond whenever there are multiple fatality incident reports. My friend Rose works at New Hampshire State Hospital, and she's in charge of all of the dental care for the patients at the hospital. So there are many avenues that hygienists can pursue if just staying in a, you know, the clinical model in an office is something that maybe doesn't appeal to everyone.
But even in the clinical environment, to me, what's great about the profession is you could, you know, if you're raising a family, you could perhaps work
yes.
2 or 3 days a week. You can work for more than one dental office, you know, and as a professional with a license, it's probably portable. So if your spouse has to move because of his or her job or because he or she is in the service, you're taking a license and a skill that's portable, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. And what's happening now is we're seeing that we're trying to get reciprocity between states so that, as we know, the millennials are really on the move. They really move around quite a bit, and they'd be able to transfer their license from state to state. If they take the national licensure exam, the ADACs, they could actually practice in almost, I think it's 50 states right now.
That would be great. And I think, as you know, when we have a program now for veterans, and we need you all to be able to help out in Vermont.
That's right.
So we'll go from.
You know, and also just to go back to New Hampshire Technical Institute, they have a wonderful program where they do see patients and they do adult cleanings for at a reduced rate, but they also offer a very reduced rate for veterans or people that have served in the military. So it's very inexpensive to get your preventive dental care at the Technical Institute.
Thank you for saying that. And as you know, we're working with Easter Seals in Aspen to have, you know, various a couple days a year where veterans who maybe can't get their care at the VA because of, you know, the way the rules work, that we can handle that. So tell us, switching gears now, tell us what mm-hmm. a certified public health dental hygiene license is. And is that something relatively new and unique, or has that been around a while?
The past few years it's been around. Our legislator approved that as a level of care in New Hampshire, partly to address the access to care issues, where there are some parts of New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont that are hard to get to a dental office. You can actually have a program in that area that's overseen by a dentist, but he doesn't necessarily have to be there while the preventive care is being provided. One of the things that's really exciting that Northeast Delta Dental is also looking at is that virtual dentistry model, kind of like telemedicine. So a lot of these public health programs are able to operate because of that teledentistry model, using technology to help patients with their preventive needs.
And what Leanne is alluding to there is that a couple years ago, with a company called VirtuDent, and with our own knowledge that the new American immigrants were having trouble with, you know, access to dental care, but yet they would be at Boys and Girls Club. We actually brought teledentistry to the Boys and Girls Clubs in Manchester and Concord, as well as Nashua now, and also Spalding. And essentially, without oversimplifying, but it's essentially dentistry in suitcases. There's an RDH on site. The X-rays are looked at and notes are looked at by an off-site dentist. In our case, Dr. Bolduc, who's a New Hampshire Delta board member. And then if the child needs to see a dentist, they're then transported at a later date to Easter Seals Dental Center in Manchester, or in the case of Concord, the Savings People Smile. So I guess what you're saying is, if you get your hygiene degree, you're going to have lots of opportunities if you at a sort of traditional dental offices. But if you want to get into public health, if you want to do teaching, there's mm-hmm. a ton of opportunity where you can take your passion. You can respond to that, but also tell us about emerging technology.
Oh, that's really exciting. I'm very excited about the way that dentistry is going just in general. We spoke earlier about digital dentistry, which would be the teledentistry model. They're also looking at this DNA bacterial and genetic testing, looking at specific bacteria in a patient's mouth so that they can deliver an antibiotic that would help with either the caries rate, the cavities, or periodontal disease. Nanotechnology is emerging, and our government is really investing quite a bit in that. It's breaking down things atom by atom and putting it in mouthwashes and things of that nature so it's readily absorbed by the enamel. There's stem cell research. They're looking at using stem cells, which is a very controversial thing right now, but they're looking at how it could be applied to someone that has a missing tooth. Instead of putting an implant in, like a stainless steel implant, you could actually grow another tooth in that place where that old tooth was removed from.
If you were to tie a bow on this, first question, would you, and I know the answer to this, but I'm asking anyway, would you relive and still be a dental hygiene? And two, in a nutshell, why would you recommend someone get into this field?
Well, I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I'm going to continue to do it. I mean, I think there's other areas of dentistry that I'm still going to make an impact.
And as an aside, you are making an impact. What Leanne's doing with her two colleagues for the Health Rural Wellness Program truly is revolutionizing the dental benefits industry. So thank you.
It is. And one thing that I did in my career that was exciting was I was the investigator for the State Dental Board for about 25 years. And that was really interesting. And the dental board regulates the practice of dentistry and dental hygiene. We do that by licensing, but our main job is to protect the public. And how that would work is if the dental board ever received any type of complaint about a practitioner, an office, or a concern, my job was to go and review that and take a look at that. And that was really exciting. We got to make a lot of positive changes in New Hampshire, bringing in continuing education for infection control, opening the doors for more CDC and OSHA compliance by putting that all on the dental board's website, making it more available for offices.
Well, you're a credit to your profession.
Thanks.
You're a credit to Northeast Delta Dental for the way you represent the company for health, rural wellness. Obviously, you're awesome at what you do. So thank you for joining me this
Thanks
weekend.
Thanks for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
We'll have you back because there's so much more we could talk about. But with commercials and so forth, I need to pause right now. But thank you very much, Leanne.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.